Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. I got the mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We just praise you, Father. Glorify you. Lord, it's really uncertain times for people who don't know you. But Lord, I know that we trust you implicitly with the things that are happening and that you're going to protect us and our families in the days ahead that look kind of bleak in a lot of ways. But for those of yours, Lord, it's going to be a wonderful time because it's going to be the time of the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all the man-child ministries that you have already picked, probably, and all your bride, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for all of those that you're going to anoint in the man-child ministry. And I thank you, Father, that it's going to be an awesome, awesome revival. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you for leading us tonight into the things that you'd have us to speak about. The revelation knowledge is out of the Word of God, Lord. That you would open up the hidden treasures of your Word to everybody here and those listening, Lord. And we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do this evening. Thank you for an open heaven where when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered because you've given us bold faith. We read and study your Word and understand what faith is. And I thank you, Father, that there is no doubt and unbelief in your group tonight here in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, we just command all demonic entities that may want to try to interrupt anything tonight, be gone in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Glory to God. It's going to be, ooh, we got a big, large crowd tonight. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I just want to thank the Lord. And Father God, I thank you for my son and the great discourse and conversation we've had here. We were supposed to go for a walk, but it was so much fun talking about you that we just got lost in talking about you. And it's so nice to have someone to talk to. And praise God. Thank you, Lord. And continue to bless us. Continue to bless all my brethren at UVM and their loved ones too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for all the fathers and sons that have that relationship. It's a blessing to have someone like your son to talk with or your father to talk with and about you, Lord. And I thank you for that, for all of those of yours, Lord, that has that opportunity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because I know it's coming to me too. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Julie, go ahead.
I'd like to pray too. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for all the trials. We're supposed to thank you in everything, Father. I thank you, Lord, for trials that you're allowing your bride to be in right now, in order to be accounted worthy, to be sanctified, to where our faith is being proven, where we are going through different things, Lord, and holding on the confession of our hope, and that we're not wavering. So I thank you, Lord, for encouraging everybody in the trials of our faith, Lord, that we not lose sight and we not get discouraged or disappointed or oppressed of the enemy, or we just keep rejoicing in you and fighting the good fight and know that you will not fail us and you're not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. That you always make a way, Lord, to escape these things, Father. We just have to go through them. And in the end, there's an end. Praise God. There is an end, just as there's been a beginning of everything, Lord, the beginning of our trials. And so thank you, Lord, for lifting everybody up from any kind of oppression of the enemy and filling us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, filling us with joy and righteousness, and just keep confessing that which is true and agreeing with your word, Lord, and you will bring it to pass. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for able to endure and fight the good fight and overcome and see you manifest what you want done in us. Lord, we know great rewards are coming soon. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in each and every one of us and unifying your bride into one body, into the unity of the spirit and bond of peace and unity and love for one another, and making that even stronger, Lord, that we all are in one accord and that we are all lifting each other up and meeting the needs of each other where we can, and learning more and more about you, Lord, who you are and who we are in you. In the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you richly bless them with everything that you've promised them, Lord, personally, and what we have written in the Word of God, for all the blessings that you have for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Cheryl, go ahead.
Amen. I want to praise the Lord, and I want to thank him because, for keeping me and my son's trailer in these storms, and that he's going to keep the trees. They're real tall trees around here. And we had a limb just break, but it was way away from our trailers. And I just want to praise the Lord for keeping us safe and bringing us through this storm. And we're going to cast down any kind of tornadoes, that's, they forecasted, in this area. And I just want to praise God for his mercy and grace and for his preservation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because if we've got your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can utilize his teaching abilities to help us understand the word of God and not have to rely on man. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God, because a lot of times man listens to man, and man gets from man, and man gets from man, and then it just gets the word of God just so tainted, Father God, by the time it gets to your people. And I thank you, Father, to place it in all of us that are baptized in the Holy Spirit to listen to your word as we read and study the word of God, and not to be defiled by what man thinks and only what you think in the word of God, Lord. We've got, I believe it's 44,000 last count of denominations, of different types of churches that all believe something a little bit different than the other one. And Lord, that's because they're not listening to you. And I praise you, Father, for giving us that Holy Spirit and telling us in your word to allow no man to teach you, only the Spirit of God to teach you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. And I praise you, Father, that that's going to be evident in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone else? Okay. Y'all ready for some good old music? Praise and worship. I got something already lined up tonight, man. I'll tell you what, y'all fixing to jump around and clap and dance before the Lord. All right, let's see. Yeah. Let me see if I can get this.
We'll put your hands together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the protection while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
Thank you, Lord. This means war. Glory to God.
Have the petitions? What are you waiting for?
Amen. Amen. I plead the blood. Amen. Thank you for your blood, Lord. All right. Oh. I read this out of a little thing that I got here. I want to read it to y'all and listen to what it's saying. Listen to what it's saying. He said, this is about the Holy Spirit. He said, I read a book not too long ago about holiness. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, good. I read a book not too long ago about holiness that asked an important question. What if I gave you a glass of water, but I told you that it had 0.5% of waste in it? Would you want to drink it? Of course not. What if the water was clean, but the glass had been previously filled with waste and then not cleaned? Would that be okay? No, it wouldn't, and we all understand that. And what he's talking about is the Word of God that people give out in apostate religion. And how much of it would you, how many times have we checked behind somebody that gave us some kind of new revelation and didn't go to the Word of God and just accepted it because he's a man of God? That's why we ought to always check behind everything that somebody tells us, you know? And I just wanted to throw that out there because we've got, like I said a while ago, 44, I believe the last count was 44,000 different denominations in the United States. Why is that? Because there's a little leaven in there. Every one of them. Or most of them. So that's why it's imperative on our part to read and study the Word of God ourselves and to prove to ourselves what's going on. All right, anybody got any thoughts on what I just asked? You know, I just read you there. How many of you know that's the truth? Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Michael, did you say that if you knew that it had 0.5% waste in it, that you knew that there was dirt in it, unclean? You knew there was just a little bit, like you knew something was wrong about the pastor, or you knew that there was some little secret thing that they do is,
well, whatever, you know, whatever,
maybe
it is.
Not godly.
Yeah. What if you knew,
like the vessel?
What if he told you had filth in it? I must have a little delay here. What if he told you that when you get saved, you don't have to worry about anything else. You've gotten everything that you need to get into heaven. Yeah, we're all, man, you're good to go now. Well, and then you read in the Word of God all the ifs that are in there. And then you still latch on to what he said because he's a man of God and he's been up there in the pulpit preaching the Word of God when in fact he's just a lying devil. So that's what I'm saying. We all know this, but I'm just putting it out there because there's a lot of it in play, and that's why God is fixing to mop out the church. Yeah, Andy.
So I guess they think you have everything as soon as you get saved, instantaneously. Like, don't they believe that you need to bear fruit? Isn't this identifying what land they're in the parable of the sower? I'd like to mention another verse here that might be very familiar with the verse. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. I'm going to read 9, though, because that's where... I'll read 8 too. Because the witnessing ones are three. The Spirit, that's a capital S, and the water, Ephesians 5:26, and the blood, Revelation 12:11, and the three agree in one. But if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater, because the witness of God is this, that he hath the witness concerning his Son. And who believeth unto the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And that's the witness we need to have. Who believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he hath not believed unto the witness that God hath witnessed concerning his Son. Now, you know, sometimes the kids mess up with this, and you got to go to the first chapter of John and read, I think it's 5 to... chapter 1, 5 to 10, line upon line. You've got to read all of them for the forgiveness, not just the 9th verse, but start at 5, because it gives you detail here. Every negative, not 5, 7, and 9 are the good ones, and 6, 8, and 10 are kind of the things he wants to correct you from. So you got to go line upon line for this 1 John 1, 9 to have it done, you know, and there's that nice walking in the light there, which is the 7th step. So I know it sounds like it's pretty juvenile. But what happens when you get into the spirit of the word? You know, the witness of man, the witness of God. So there's lots to do with this, you know, why there is so much confusion in the church. And, you know, I'm not saying I know everything, but whenever I feel down, sometimes I do read 1 John chapter 5, you know, because it's really inviting and wonderful. What does it say there, right in the first part of it? Everyone that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. And everyone that loveth the begetter loves the one begotten of him. So, you know, you got to love each other. Hereby we know that we love the children of God. So, you know, when you compare that, when we love God and do his commandments, we actually walk in his commandments. And, you know, that first law in the Gospels, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Well, this is how 5 and 2 works, whereby we know that if we love God, we love the children of God, whereby we know that we love, hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. So, you know, the second commandment that's like it is, you should love your neighbor, but you see, that's a contagion. Because you are loving God, it's shining forth. It's you're going to shine this love to your neighbor and even to your enemy and pray for them. Pray, you know, it says to love your enemies and pray for them that despitefully use you. It's a really good thing when you got one of those people that really annoy you at work. I don't go to work anymore. I'm saved from that. And I still pray for the guy, you know. Every month he'd say to me, Andrew, it's just another book. And I wasn't even talking to him about the Lord, because I'd be busily reading my, you know, you don't have any time to read when you're working, and I'd be reading my proverb there. You know, proverb a day, 30 proverbs, you know. It's just another book. And I'd go, no, it's not. It's the word of God. Sometimes I'd answer him like that. And then he'd go, oh, yeah. Anyway, I guess it was proving something there. God was proving something. Hopefully it worked out well for me, you know, to be mocked. They used to mock me about creation. You know, like, you know, yeah. Of the last days, you know, and it's 165 years from Darwin, and that's when the last day started, because it's of the last days, 2 Peter 3:5, you know. He doesn't say evolution there. He had to put in Genesis 1:9, and they willfully forget that. So, you know, and of the last days, because, you know, they had, you know, 1812, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle between us Canadians and you Americans. And there was even a bigger thing over there in Europe. And that's James chapter 4, about war, you know, and the first two verses. So, you know, there's this division among nations that they said were Christian. And there's this division now throughout all the churches, you know. And I one other thing before I stop, you know, since we're discussing on this, because it's what we're faced with, and we're not trying to hate these people. We want God, Lord God, to come in and correct them and establish unity. So we're not doing this to be mean or vindictive. We're doing this so that God can save, you know. It's a John 3:17 we're doing here, you know. I think not that I come into this world to judge. I came not to judge, but to save. So that's what we're supposed to do. we're savers. You know, we savor what we're supposed to use to save. And we got eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and feelings for that. So don't give up on them. Because all our old feelings are crucified. Even though we hope they're all crucified, but they are. It's a Joshua 10. Anyway, yeah, I was going to say something, but I forgot. I'm rambling on. So it was something good, though. That's the whole thing. And I can't remember what it was going to be. But if I remember, I'll come back to it because it was really good. And I can't remember right now. So hopefully someone else can remember for me. And that's what I'm looking up.
Oh, my gracious. Help us, Jesus. Amen. Lord, we have the mind of Christ. We thank you, Lord. He's going to come back. Go ahead, Joe. Joe's got it, Andrew. Listen to
him. I was just thinking, I was brought up, I was reading Bible, but not much. I wasn't into Christianity at all. After my divorce, in 2 years, I studied the Bible and learned about it. When the Lord changed my mind to UBM and started reading and all this. But that's where it started. But my point is I think I made up my mind about Jesus, but I haven't got a clue what was really going on in the Bible until I studied the two and know the truth. That only, you can only make up your mind if you know enough about God and Jesus and the Bible. If you haven't studied enough, you can't make up your mind about what's going on. That's why my thinking was, I was a Christian, and I don't say that denomination is the same, but I was a Christian. Well, I was thinking I was a Christian, but until I study the Bible and know what is really going on and understanding and getting the truth, then I can make up my mind what to follow and why do I follow it. That's so important for, I'm not sure the people is, why they're making a doctrine and just taking pieces of a Bible. So I'm not sure. So my point is this, make up, study, know enough to make up your mind. What do you want to follow? That's what I think. Thank you.
Amen. That's a good word. Thank you, Father. Yeah, you got to know what the word says in order to keep the straight and the narrow. How do you know you're going to heaven? Well, my pastor said, I ain't good enough. That's not good enough. Oh, okay. Anyone else? One of the things that impressed me about why the tribulation is coming, and the Lord's already told us why. He wants to clean his church up. And that's the church that we've got in the world today is, I'm not saying all churches, I'm just saying a lot of them are taking people down the wrong road. Still sounds right. So and that's why the reason I brought it up, because the Word of God is very adamant about what we have to do. We have to look like Jesus. We're to look like Jesus all the time. We're to act like Jesus. We're to talk like Jesus. Do what he did. And you can't do that by just listening to some man tell you. You got to get in that word and find out for yourself. I was reading the Fruit of the Spirit today, Galatians 5, and I had to write them down. I memorized them before, but the Fruit of the Spirit, we all want to do the Fruit of the Spirit. We want to be like the Fruit of the Spirit. And there's 9 of them. We need to partake of all of them. All All right, anybody else? Hey, Jesse. Okay, I'm going to read this again because I think it's necessary. I read it every day myself. This is "Hear the Word of Your Lord." It came May the 19th, or not May, April the 19th. This is the time to stop thinking about yourself. A mind on self is a worldly mind. Put it far from you. This is the time to have your mind focused on what I am doing and how I am going to do it and how I will use you and move through you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient to his Father. That's what we need to do. We need to empty ourselves and just do what the Lord tells us to do. He was not obedient to his own inclinations. In other words, he didn't do what he wanted to do. He always did what Jesus wanted, the Father wanted to do. He had none of his own inclinations. He was totally yielded to every thought and way of his Father. And now you must be yielded to only me and my way of thinking. My way is love. My way is also judgment. And my way is mercy. Think on these things. Come before me ready to let me speak to you the things on my heart, that you will intercede from a heart ready to fulfill my will in this time. I have given you authority to bind and loose. Let this mind be in you. Listen to me. I have an agenda. I want to speak to each heart and mind who wants to line up with what I'm doing. Warfare. Do warfare. As you are taking in my word, you will know how to pray. And you will know what I precisely want you to warfare against. Do you see this thing I have called you to? Are you getting it? It's nothing about yourself or of yourself. It's my will. You are in my army. You are called to be soldiers. You are called to set yourself apart from the things of this world. Repent and change your mind. Change your thinking. Renew your mind with the things that make for peace through prayer, which is my will for you to do each day. There's only peace in that. There's no striving. Are you going to give yourself up to what I have need of you for? There's only one peace in giving up. And there is a work that needs to be done. Wars for souls that need to be won. Feel the freedom, my thoughts for your thoughts. Amen, Lord. My ways for your ways. Amen, Lord. My desires for your desires. Amen, Lord. Let us build the kingdom together. I can do it without you, but it would mean casting you aside. Oh, my people, how that thought breaks my heart. My people, hear the word of your Lord. Think on these things and act accordingly. And then David Timichuk's word. When you're free from self, that's when you have the calm in your storm. When you're free of self, that's when the sea splits so you can reach the other side. When you're free of self, only then can you love me and the ones around you. When you're free from self, that's when you will be able to enter my presence. Am I worthy enough for you to give yourself up to be with me? Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for reminding us where we are with you, Lord. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you put it in everybody's heart to seek you every day and to war every day against this the things that you've placed in our heart to pray against. Pray for. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Father, for letting us showing us to sacrifice our time for people's lives in our prayer and war that you told us to enter into. And I praise you, Father, for doing that in all of us, because there are lives at stake. There's eternal lives at stake when you ask us to pray for people. Then we give you the faith, and we know that it's going to be done. Your faith in us will get this job done, and only that. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, Andrew.
Just would like to add some more. Father God,
yeah.
We come before you. We spend time in your Bible, reading your word, and studying it, hopefully on a daily basis. We may get some word there as to what we should be praying for in about this world, and the help the church needs to be corrected, to be spirit-filled somehow. And Lord, even for our own selves to be uplifted. And we ask, Lord, that we all have a lovely Bible study with you, that you would be the one teaching us in our word Bible studies all the time, as it always was, even if we didn't know you were the one teaching us. You truly are the one teaching us. But give to us these things through your word so that we can pray while we actually study for ourselves and for the greater body of the UBM and for the greater body of the church that needs correction. They need it according to your word. They need it. All scripture is given, is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God kind of be perfected by it, Lord. So we pray, Father, that you would make these things come to pass, and that we would have things to pray for during our studies also. And to meditate on things too. I like to go for walks, and I go to the park here, and I see the young children there, And you know, it's concerning for me, Father. It wants me to say things, but I hold back, you know. For whatever reason, Father, I've asked you these things during my prayer times on how I can be all for you, how you can work through me to be your man here on this planet, to be your wonderful witness, Father, to do whatever I can to be there, to comfort others. Father, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in your name would come and teach us all things that we can witness of, but to also remind us of what you already taught us too, Lord, that this be functioning in all of us right away, all the time. Eternal Comforter, Holy Spirit, we get. An eternal word we get, Father, an eternal overcoming by the blood of the Lamb to come against the worldliness. You know, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Overcometh. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the water of the Word. We overcome by the Holy Spirit. These are recorded in heaven. These are how we witness. This is what we can pass it by, each one of these. Is it the Spirit? Is it the water? Is it the blood? Then it's true. Thank you, Father. Praise and glory to your name.
I'm a seed. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? I want to read this, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, there's a lot of churches like that. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, it sounds almost the same as Romans chapter 1 after verse 18. And that's the second witness. You know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let my word be established. But I just realized that right now when you were reading it, it's that a lot of those items that are there are also in Romans chapter 1 from that first 10.
Yeah. You know, the Christ-like spirit that we seek to walk in is walking in the fruit of the spirit, right? That's what we ought to be doing, is walking in the fruit of the spirit. And I guess I need to go ahead and read that also. Galatians 5:16-25. But I say, walk by the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary, the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And the works of the flesh, well, we already went through all of that, didn't we? I want to get down to the fruit. But I'll just read it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envy, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarned you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Oh, glory to God. That Christ-likeness is everybody, should be everybody's goal. And it's spiritual growth manifested in each one of us when we do these things and keep these, the fruit of the Spirit. And that's a perfect picture of Christ-likeness, isn't it? It's a perfect picture of Him. And when the great thing about it is, as we walk through these fruits of the Spirit, it'll become more evident in each one of our lives. It'll show that we're becoming more like Jesus because we're doing the Word instead of just reading it and not understanding it. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I just getting back to the first fruit of the Spirit there, how we're supposed to walk in love, and we're supposed to imitate God the Father. And I think I said this last time, like, beloved children, and to walk in love. And, of course, 2 Corinthians 15:16 mentions that we're supposed to be in the sanctuary and not in the not in an idol. And God's going to walk in us. and we have to follow him. And he kind of leads us along and shows us how to walk his way and his truth and his life. If we walk in Christ too, as it says in Colossians chapter 2. So we want to walk in his love. It's supposed to permeate from us. Somehow the Lord gets it out of us. It's what brings forth a prayer of love will bring forth birth in another person. And it comes out of us at God's disposal. And it's so perfect when God takes care of it all. It's just that it gets all lined up. It happens. And you know it's of God. And I know that a lot of people struggle with this. And they get, well, how do I know if it's of God? It's just of God. It's going to just line up perfectly. You know, when Peter was on that rooftop, I'm sure he didn't know that this was going to happen to him when he went into a trance. But he went into a trance. And he had it all set up. God was working it out. God was about to give the greatest love ever to a man who was 2 days away on a journey of that he was going to be saved. And that was Cornelius. And the love was going to happen. God's love in action toward mankind through this wonderful apostle Peter. That when we read about him, we just want to meet him and know him. And are thankful for the word to this day. Praise and glory to God.
You know, I was thinking about Peter the other day, how that before Pentecost, man, he gave up Jesus. He gave, you know, he walked out on Jesus. He lied. He did all of those bad things. But once he got filled with the Holy Spirit and he understood what that was, what happened? Man, he went out there and preached salvation to 5,000 people. Then the next thing he did was go over there and told that guy, he said, I ain't got no money, but I'll give you what I got, glory to God. Then he reached down and pulled that man up and healed him. And he never went against Jesus again, never did, according to the word of God, because he was filled with the Spirit of God that helped him along the way. Glory be to God. And that's what we have. We all, each of us, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got everything you need. That and the Word of God. That and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God is victory for God's people. Glory be to God. We're talking about a guy that fished his life. He didn't know nothing about nothing. And then when he got filled with the Holy Spirit, the world changed for him. Hey, Pat. All right, anybody else? Got anything they'd like to share? Got a question? Got anything? Pat, we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit and also just what it is to, you know, what true Christianity is, what a true Christian is like, that kind of thing. Yeah, Joe.
Can I change the subject just a little bit? We can come back to that. Just want to tell me about my experience yesterday. I was again at the shops, and I on my way home, I see a guy at the bus stop, but it's a different bus stop. When I stop at him to give him some food, it was the same guy a couple of weeks ago I was talking about this. So this time I'm stopping at the site and I walk to him and give him the food. When I try to talk to him, he can't be straight in the eyes. It's not normal. I ask him, can I pray for him, talk him, what's his name? He'd pick up a magazine and kiss a magazine. So I stand back a couple of feet and I just pray for him and then I give him the food and I walk off. So, but when I walk off, I bind the spirits of demons of everything on him and let it not come on me. So I'm on my way home. When I come at home, I eat, make something to eat, and I listen to a Bible study on the rest of Jesus, the Sabbath. And I couldn't feel comfortable about reading. I was about halfway through it, and I said, I can't seem like, I don't understand it. Something's not right here. When I pray about it, when the Lord showed me his, I helped a woman with a TB for channel. And when I was sitting there and I thinking about this, then it came to me, I was in a place to tune a TV or channels. Then the Lord showed me that there were some spirits. I didn't bind the spirits when I go in or would go out. And Lord just showed me how important it is to be prepared when you go out to find every spirit, and when you go out, you don't know the people, you don't know where they're at, where they're in their lives. But it was quite an experience. That's comfortable. That's the Lord showed you. You have to get clean. You have to get, find up every spirit, because they're going to make attack on you in every which way they can. So I just want to tell you that. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, that's a good deal. Before you go out, bind them all from messing me. I plead the blood. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Anybody got any questions about the word? What does it take to operate in the supernatural? The supernatural of God, I'm talking about, of course. It takes a close relationship of Jesus and the Lord, doesn't it? Go ahead, Julie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it does. I think you need to have faith. You need to have, be just submission to the Lord and not go out with any kind of agenda, but, you know, just like, here I am, Lord. I be prayed up in the Spirit. That's always helpful. Be praying in the Spirit a lot before you go out. And just be listening and watching, you know, because sometimes he might use you, but it won't be directly with somebody. He's done that with me before. You know, just observing and watching stuff going on around me. And he didn't actually have me interact with anyone, but I saw things. And Lord had me just bind up stuff and pray for people that I saw were, you know, in trouble or whatever. So just be watchful and discerning and listening to the Lord. And, you know, if you can bring anybody, right, put you right there with somebody that needs to talk to you, needs somebody to pray for them. I remember this one guy. You know, I wasn't expecting anything to happen that day. I was just going on my way to work. I was on the trolley, and this young man got on the trolley, and his name was Chad. I remember that. and he sat down across from me, facing me. And he was talking, before he got on, he was talking to one of the, well, we'll just call him the Charlie police. You know, he was in uniform and stuff, and they apparently knew the guy. Well, he sat down in front of me, and he had, like, this medicine box is what it turned out to be. And it was full of pills, and I could smell marijuana. He had medicinal marijuana and all kinds of stuff. And I just went, oh, my God, look at all this stuff. You know, I was just watching, observing, you know, and then he took out of his backpack. He took out it was a Christian book of some sort. And I was able to read the title, and it had something to do with women in the Bible or something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. I was just kind of watching, and then he saw me watching him, and he, you know, it's like, he goes, this is all legal. This is legal. I have it from my, you know, my blah, 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 my doctor and everything. I need this. And then he went on to tell me that he was having all these problems, and he just started talking and talking and talking. And I just was able to listen. And he had problems with his mom and his relationship there and just different things. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit just took over. And before he got off the trolley, we were praying for his mom, for forgiveness and just all kinds of things. The Holy Spirit, he was crying. He just felt the presence of the Lord was there. You know, I didn't do anything. You know, it was just one thing. It just opened up, you know, so you just never know, you know. But that was just somebody, you know, I never saw him again, but he was actually on his way to his psychologist because he was so upset with his mom and all this other stuff that he told me. He goes, I don't even feel like I need to go to my psychologist now. He just, just got rid of all kinds of stuff, you know, that was on his heart just by talking and somebody, you know, listening and praying for him. That was it. You know, you just never know. That's, you know, there are a few things like that happen. So it's just being open and ready and, you know, listening and watching. Just letting God start a conversation for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? What I meant by the supernatural, I'm going to explain myself a little better here. What I meant by the supernatural, to walk and listen to God, be able to listen to the Lord, and to do the supernatural things that God has available for us, all the gifts of the Spirit, all of that. What is the main thing that we need to do in order to walk in that spiritual realm 24/7? I just told you what it was. Draw nigh unto him and listen to him, talk to him. We study the Word of God. That's great. That's awesome. And we meditate on the Word of God. That is awesome. But we also need that personal relationship with the Lord in order to understand what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. And I'm learning that more every day as I've been in the same house with David. Because I don't know how many hours a day it's working with the Lord. It's just hours and hours and hours. And I'm understanding this, that that's what it's going to take to work with the Lord and the things that he wants us to do. And that is, we have to have that relationship with him. Well, I just don't have time. Well, you got time to do other stuff. That's what he tells me, you know. You got time to do other stuff. You got time to spend it with me. you know, and I'm learning that as I watch and listen to David. Y'all don't really understand how much David spends with the Lord. It's continual. It's continual. And it's heartening for me. It's actually a boost for me, because when he's in there doing that, I can get up here and do the same thing. Now, get this, it's whether I do it or not. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I got to do this before I can do that. Let me go ahead and do this, and I get that out of the way, and that way I'll be able to spend all my time with him. Then something else comes up. Then something else comes up. But then something else comes up. Next thing you know, it's dark. Well, I got to go to bed here in a minute. I could give Jesus 5 minutes. Ain't going to work. We're going to have to learn that it's this time right now to spend with the Lord and to find out from him. And I don't want to put any condemnation on anybody. I don't. But get it right, for goodness sake. Glory to God. No, but when you can, that's when you need to do it. I go down there and he'll be laid out like this, but the Bible will be in audio. He'll have the Bible going in audio, sitting there snoozing. How many of you know your spirit can still hear it? Yeah, your spirit can still hear it. He's got it going. I go down, oh gosh, I wish I'd done that. You know, now I've started doing it. That's after I eat that strawberry pie that Anna made us. Glory to God. No, I'm serious, really, about this. That's what God wants us to do through that word that Debbie and David gave us. David Timichuk. All right. On a lighter note, that is a light note right there. That's a good note. What was that? I had a saying here. Where is that saying that I look at when I think about it? Oh, yeah. I got a big letters up on the wall back here where I meditate. It says, proof of passion is pursuit. You understand? Proof of your passion is pursuit. Go ahead, Andrew, or Ben.
Well, I was going to ask you to repeat that, but you said it again anyway.
Okay. I'll write it in the chat.
You know, sometimes us older people have trouble. If you put a significant on something, I love when they repeat it, you know.
Yeah. So,
if you even said, you know, barely, barely, you know, you got to listen to those barely, barely. So barely, barely, say it twice.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I just want to tell Andrew, when he's talking about older people, we're not older people. We're young in Christ. We're not older, Andrew.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But we got the door open for the traffic and the van going, so sometimes, you know. Anyways, I'm not saying any excuses. I hear perfectly. And I'll go with that that movie there, Heaven Is For Real. You know, everyone's 30 or under in that. That's a 4-year-old boy.
Amen. Amen. Well, you ain't looking at an old man here either. I'm 30 years old. I'm fixing to be that. You're going to see that. Glory to God. I'll take 40.
Ain't nobody older than Jesus. I'll tell you that. He was only 33, so.
There okay. You. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll take 33, too. I was telling my... I ain't going to tell that. I'm going to leave that alone. I was going to tell my wife. I'm not going to do it. All right. Anybody else? Has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? This is Potpourri Night. Yeah, Julie.
Well, just something that was coming to my mind. You're talking about what you were saying about pursuing God, you know. That's our passion, you know, and that's a gift from the Lord. But, you know, I just was thinking, there's many times I think about how fortunate, you know, I am that God gave me, you know, this gift we all have here. We're all here because he drew us, you know. But one of the things I remember a pastor I heard say, and I think it wasn't his own quote, it was somebody else, but it had something to do, it was something like this, that your relationship with Jesus Christ is in direct relation to how much time you spend reading the Word of God. And there was a lot that, you know, God quickened me to hear that. And I'm like, wow, that's true. You know, your relationship that Jesus Christ is in direct relation just to how much time you spend reading the Word, because he is the Word, right? And anyway, it's just one of those things about, you know, it's a gift. We have been given a precious gift of wanting to know the Lord and running after him, seeking his face and all those things, and being able to hear the voice of the Spirit, and, you know, or our angel or whatever, you know, it's his Word, you know, and not everybody gets this gift, you know, and, you know, I've shared with my sisters before, you know, and others, it's like, you know, if it wasn't for God's grace, I could still be there or worse, you know, in one of those places. I'd be one of those people you're all talking, you know, they're all talking about the apostate Christianity, you know, and all the things that are happening, that could still be me, you know, but we're just a very fortunate group. I thank the Lord every day for that, that I'm not still there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you something that y'all probably read it too. If you look in Esau a lot, if you use Esau a lot and go in the tools that they have, there's a lot of good books to use as references. And one of them was, I think it was Tori. What's the guy's name? Anyway, he talked about how to study the Bible. And there was a Bible scholar that was amazed at this old country-looking guy, young country-looking guy. But he knew the Word of God just so much, so great. You know, he was amazed by it. And he said, how did you do that? Guess what he said? He said, I can go sit down in one sitting and read a book 12 times. Read a book. Now he, you know, they said, well, start out with like First Peter or something like that and read it 12 times and read it out loud. You know what that does? Puts it in your brain, puts it in your memory. It does. When I read that, I knew it was true, because years ago when I was in amateur radio, That's how I used to do my license. I'd go take that license. Before I take that license, I'd read the book 10 times. When I go there, I'd ace it. You know, that's how you do it. So I knew when he said that, man, that makes so much sense. Now, I'm not sure that he, you know, he sat down and read Hebrews 12 times during the day, but he might have read, you know, chapters or something like that 12 times and go to the next chapter. I don't know how he did it. It didn't make any difference. He was this guy, this theologian, so-called. The theologian was amazed that he could just grab verses where he wanted to. And he said, how do you do that? He said, well, I'll read the Bible 12. I'll read a book 12 times in one sitting. Yeah, Andrew.
I'm not trying to be condemning anyone, but if it's your life, then I think that's a nice thing to do, you know. He's probably a younger guy that has time to do that too, you know, and not making excuses for anyone. But, you know, God can also use key words, you know, like faith. You know, you have to explain that word to some people because, you know, they think it's 44,000, you know. So you might need a verse for that, too, you know. So God gave me a verse for that. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And you take Simon Peter out of there and you put your name in there and you take the word apostle out of there, unless you are one, and you just say Andrew Swayevsky, bondman and of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained an equally precious faith with us, and there's your Emmanuel, in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the faith. It's not a Catholic. It's not a Pentecostal. It's an abundance of Jesus Christ to them that have an update and equally. So equally with even Simon Peter, because we're not part of any Nicolaitan era, right? So that's the faith right there. And there's one faith. It says so in Ephesians 4:4-4:6. All seven of them are one. And that's what we are. You know, a basic, what faith is. And sometimes you might say, well, you got to have faith. But if that faith is in Jesus Christ, you know, we're partakers of Christ. It says so in the Bible. And we're partakers of the divine nature. So that's the faith, to be partakers, to walk with him. And don't look at me like I'm a stranger here, because you don't walk with him. Dad's going to get you. He's going to smack you. Smack you into shape. You know, when you want patience, whose is it? Now, really, whose patience is it? You know, if you want patience, where do you get patience? Do you think it's your patience? No. It's the patience of that inner man. It's the patience of the walk of God inside of you. You know, everybody needs to have patience. You know, ran into a person once, don't pray for patience, because then you're going to get in a lot of trouble. Well, look what Jeremiah said. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So here's Jeremiah asking God for a spanking. And I think I mentioned that a long time ago, but one of the things in love, judgment, and mercy, yeah, in the same that was said before. So, in Deborah's account there, love, judgment, and mercy, yeah. So, And not that we want to get a spanking, but we would prefer just to obey right away. Yeah, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's not the only way to bring. I would insinuate that, but that's just one way to do it. I like to meditate on what I'm reading. Yeah, Anna.
Just talking about, you know, spending time with the Lord and making time. It just amazes me, and I've still got a lot to learn about this, but it just amazes me how, if I set out time for the Lord in the morning first, how much better my day goes, and I can get so much more done on so much less time. If I start thinking, oh my gosh, I got this and this and this and that, you know, these million things I need to do, I can be on my feet all day, and at the end of the day, feel like I got nothing done. But almost always, if I'm like, man, we got a lot to do today, let's take some time for the Lord first. And we just spend, it can even just be, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, whatever. Sometimes more than that. Me and the kids together. You know, just beside if I have morning time with the Lord or not, just when I set out, especially with me and the kids. And then, you know, we have our time with the Lord. It'll be great. It sets the mood. We'll be praying more throughout the day while we're doing, you know, just household chores or whatever errands. And it'll be like 1 o'clock. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, almost everything I had to do today is done. And it's only 1 o'clock. And it blows my mind because I don't even know how the Lord does it. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't add up, but it's so awesome. And it just makes me want to even give him more time. And like I said, I've still got a lot to learn, but it's just amazing. It's like the Lord is, you know, he takes care of, you know, the things that need taking care of. And it's just amazing. So praise God.
Amen. That's the same testimony Linda had. You remember that testimony of hers? Golly, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord. I remember Lester Summerall talking about Smith Wigglesworth. He said every morning, first thing Smith Wigglesworth do, he'd bound out of bed and start praising God. And he just praised God for a long time. And that's what he said. He said it made his day go a lot smoother when he did that. And that makes sense, doesn't it? That makes so much sense. First thing I have to do is get up and go down and cook breakfast. I said, oh my, I got to get up a little earlier than that so I can get the Lord to help me cook this breakfast. Amen. Yeah, Anna.
That's one more thing the Lord showed me too a while back about. Sometimes I'd be like, oh, you know, I got these things to do. Like, I don't have time to set aside this today. Maybe tomorrow, if I get everything done, I kind of reason it out. And I was like, man, like, if my kids were hungry, would I put cleaning the house or doing things ahead of that? You know, or homeschool or whatever? I was like, no, I make time every day to feed them. And if I don't, I'm going to hear about it, you know, of course. I was like, man, like this is the most important thing is feeding them. And then everything else kind of revolves around that. Like, you know, what I can do between meals. And I was like, man, like they're not crying out for spiritual food like they do for physical food. But I was like, they need that even more. And I was like, even if the house is messy, like that's okay. And most of the time the Lord helps me get, you know, most of it done. But I was like, man, this is like, I can't reason out the house, you know, vacuuming and her laundry is more important than this. And when I do put that first, the Lord just always, like I said before, it always works out so good. But just the realization that, you know, they're not asking for spiritual food, but they need it more.
Well, it's very heartening to me to see those kids praising God. You sent me a couple of clips of those kids praising God and praising God in tongues. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, that should be a priority in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in my heart to get up a little earlier and to go ahead and praise you for the day and to thank you for allowing us to be able to get out and that you're going to help us get through the day and get everything done that we're supposed to get done. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Matter of fact, I need to make myself a note. No, I got the mind of Christ. I don't have to make no notes. I'm over. Yeah. Lord of God. All right. Thank you, Anna, for that. That just helped a bunch of folks. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I just tell something about God's grace? We know God is good. Not God is always good. But what's interesting for me is, remember now, when I grow up, I'm an Afrikaans guy. It's a different language. When I started UBM in, I think, 2004, from there onwards up, and I'm talking now to anybody, if I'm talking to separate people, if I'm talking about the Bible, I'm talking in English, not in Afrikaans. I can't talk in Afrikaans when I'm talking about the Bible. It's just the interesting thing the Lord showed me is because of a lot of times when I'm speaking here and talking here and listening here, my Bible study, everything now is English. When I start Bible study, but when I'm different things, I'm talking Afrikaans, but when I'm talking about the Bible, I cannot talk Afrikaans to anybody, a specific word. I'm only talking about English. You got an idea what I said? Really? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I understood every word of it. Because I have an interpreter right here. The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? What do y'all do when you first get up in the morning? No, don't tell me that. No. Well, that's a good idea. That's a great idea, as a matter of fact. And we all do it. We all know it. Yeah, Joe. What's up, dude?
You said, what's the first thing you do in the morning? Ask the Lord that he will be the first thing in your morning when he wakes you up. Then the Lord will show you what to do. You have to ask. What I learned the last couple of weeks, you have to ask everything from the Lord. Then you make him important in your daily living. So that's all I want to add.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. All right, anybody else? Anybody getting anything out of this? Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I always wondered, you know, like, we're told to practice the Lord in the room on the chair, but I always wondered, you know, like, when we start worshiping, what is he thinking? You know, what is going on in his mind? You know, it's almost like we're singing to him. If you don't, I don't know if any families ever did this where the children would get up and sing to dad, or maybe in the church, you know, they sing to dad and mom, and you know, it really makes, I think, the parents happy to see their children doing something in one of these churches. But you know, we're praising God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, it kind of makes me wonder about that. You know, there's even like a Bible verse, to see the kingdom of God like a little child. And you know, even, you know, what does he think about the worshipers, you know, that, you know, they went around the Jericho, you know, and the walls fell down in Jericho, you know, and they were worshiping God all around there, you know. It's I guess it's just a wonderful reaction for him. to hear that.
What does the word say? It said he inhabits our praise, doesn't he? Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah, Missy, go ahead, girl.
I have to admit, one of the first things I think of when I get up is, Lord, help my mind and my body wake up.
Amen.
It's like, because it's like, I just gotta get awake. It's just like, I'm walking around, but I feel like I'm not totally awake yet. So that's what I say to the Lord lots of times, first thing.
Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that when she wakes up in the morning, you're going to wake her up. She's going to be fully awake, and she's going to know that she needs to praise you because of it, in Jesus' name. And Lord, let her do that before she goes to sleep every night. Lord, thank you for waking me up, and I'm going to be completely awake, and I won't need a cup of coffee to wake up. All I need is you. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't drink caffeinated coffee, but very rarely, and we don't even have it in the house, so.
Okay.
I do have tea, but I don't drink that real often as far as caffeinated.
Yeah. Amen. Well, whatever. That's one thing I never had a problem with, is waking up in the morning. I was able to get up and get right up and start doing what I need to do. I guess that was a gift. It's going to bed, be able to lay my head down and sleep sometimes. No, I don't have no problem with that either. Glory to God. Amen. It doesn't take a lot of... David hardly sleeps, but for me, it doesn't take many. If I can get 4 or 5 hours of sleep, I'm fine for the day. But David sometimes gets along with, you know, a couple of hours, and he's okay. Boy, I don't know how, but it's God. It's God that does it. Sometimes he stays awake all night long. A lot of times. And David's just doing what God wants him to do. Don't get me wrong. He's not some kind of super guy, super God kind of guy. He's just David, and that's what he's always loved, getting in the Word of God. He'd always loved to talk with the Lord. And that's where I want to be. Where we all want to be. God's going to get my praise. All right, anybody else? Let's hear some more good things today. Yeah, Josephus, go ahead, Brodus.
Sorry, I'm talking too much tonight.
But no, you're doing fine. I can understand every word of it.
I'll talk slower, Michael. The Lord showed me when I'm waking up my quiet time, I'm asking the Lord, wake me up from my quiet time. He wakes me up. But in the beginning, I make myself some tea and sometimes a rest, and then I start my time with him. But he later showed me on his, you're here for me, not to eat and drink. You're here for me. And that was a correction I got from the Lord. He says, leave a tea or coffee or whatever. Your quiet time is for my time. Don't eat and drink. That's for later. You can do Bible study with that, but my time is my time. I just want to tell you.
Ah, awesome. Yeah, I don't drink any coffee or tea in the morning. I just get me a glass of water for the meeting. Neither one, David or myself, drink coffee. We used to when Leon was staying here. Because Leon make a pot every morning, so we just join in with him. All right, anybody else? Pat, what are you doing in the mornings? So I'd get up and go to work.
That's it. I'll get up, take a shower, and spend some time with the Lord for about 45 minutes, depending on where I'm at. If I'm close, working close in the, you know, in the vicinity, then I spend a little longer. But usually the last couple years I've been an hour and 15 minutes from work, so I have to leave really quick. But yeah, that's first thing in the morning. After shower, I'm all awake anyway, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, amen. So. Okay, anybody else? What do you do before you go to bed? I pray that, here's something I've started then, is praying and asking the Lord to give me a good dream about what he wants me to do, or if there's any correction or anything like that, and or encouragement, and it's starting to come. Praise God. And don't ask me what it is. Ain't your business. But that's, I can see where listening to God every minute of the day is beneficial. I remember John Lake talking about a time that he was driving with his wife, and he was fixing to go around a corner this way, and the Lord told him, he said, take a left. Go left, go left. And he just immediately sent his car to the left over on the other side of the shoulder. And coming around the corner, around the curve, was a log truck. That would have killed him, his wife, and probably everybody else around it. But the Holy Spirit saved his life, and he was listening to the Holy Spirit, and immediately did what the Spirit said. Yeah, but what, that don't make any sense, Lord. No, don't sit there and argue with God. Just go ahead and do what he says. That was a wake-up for me, to be listening to the Lord at all times. How many of you have ever had a feeling to do something that was weird, and you went ahead and did it, and then it helped you? I'd say everybody has at some point in time. That's your spirit man talking to you. Yeah, Joe.
My quiet time morning, the verse was about Judas. And I was just thinking, he did see all Jesus' miracles, his healing. He did everything. He knew he was the Son of God. And what could be the turning point of going for money? It's difficult for me to understand. He did see all that 3.5 years, almost 3.5 years. He did see all that. All of Jesus, he did see them. He knew he was Son of God. He knew he was everything. And he did betray him. It's so difficult to understand, because the end of result is he did it for money. He did it for money. And it was,
let me tell you what it was. Yeah. Stupid demons. Just stupid demons. Yeah, he got unforgiveness in his heart when he got corrected, and he never did get rid of it. And that's what happened to the factions. Same thing. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to hold a grudge against anyone. It's your whole look. To hold a grudge against anyone jeopardizes you and your family. Just remember that. Yeah, Joe.
Last week, I'm not going to tell anybody anything new. The Lord is so amazing, grace, amazing love. The last week, he led me to talk to Nora again. I'm going to talk about them. There's a couple of things he showed me. I have to ask for forgiveness and make everything clean. It's about maybe a year and a half now since we're separated, divorced now. But it's just amazing how the Lord showed me to. It took this while, this long, to get this out of my heart, to make it clean with her, and not have any unforgiveness for her or. I ask for forgiveness for what I did and all, make it clean. It's just awesome how awesome God's love is. It's long suffering, how amazing grace he has with me. It's mind boggling how good God's grace is. It's unbelievable. And he still loves us. So it's amazing. Thank you.
Amen. He is amazing. You know, we learn a little more every day, don't we? About how amazing. What amazes me, Joe, is the grace that God has toward his people. The grace that he has. And one day we'll be able to tell you about a lot of it. Go ahead, Judy.
You're just talking about, you know, Judas and, you know, people with the fall into faction and all those kinds of things. It doesn't, you know, there's a lack of the fear of the Lord or something, you know. The one thing that, you know, guided me when I got the revelation that God knows everything about me. He knows every thought that I have. I can't hide anything from him. So it would be foolish to try to do that, you know, to hold on to something or just pretend that there's not something wrong or whatever. It's like, God, you already know what I'm going to say. You already know what I'm going to think. You already know how this is going to come out, you know. So it's like, why would I want to hold on to, you know, if I know it's wrong, you know, and I know it's a gift. You know, I know that now it's a gift. It's nothing you know, it's a fear of the Lord, and looking back at my life and just how much grace he's given me, you know, and so it's like, yeah, Judas, you know, he was, when you walk with somebody who did all these wonderful miracles, took care of you, fed you, provided for you, taught you all these things, and at the same time, you know, he wasn't willing to give up, you know, greed, you know, and he was a thief, you know, whatever, and these things are in his heart. We don't know all that was in his heart, but those things, because he had a spirit of offense. He was offended when, you know, when the woman anointed him, you know, and his, and then Jesus corrected him. It's like, don't begrudge her for what she's doing to me. Yeah, she's doing a great thing, and he didn't like that. He's like, he's been put on the spot and embarrassed, you know, and you know, whatever he thought, felt, and but yeah, it was, yeah, he took counsel. How, when was it he took counsel? You know, about something happened. If it was then or if it was before, about how can I turn him in? You know, and he went to the Pharisees. And, well, how much would you give me? What would you give me if I turn him into you? Yeah, it's pretty bad, right? Anyhow, that just, I know it's God's gift, the fear of the Lord. It really is. The thing is, he knows everything. You can't hide nothing from him. Why would you even try?
Amen. Yeah, that grace of God is the thing that, just think about the grace of God to bring Amber back. The grace of God to bring, you know, Ryan back. The grace of God to bring Austin back. The grace of God to bring back all of those that are coming back. And spend the rest of the time with us, hopefully. I guess that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm believing. You shall have what you believe, ain't you? Don't you? Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
I guess that it means to be knit together in love. And, yeah, you know, when Jesus says something about a woman, and he wants love in the household, that's as far as I'll go with that. You know? But it's what I read even today, y'all, in 1 John 5 and 1, you know, you got to love the together, and you got to love the people, to love your brothers, you know, because if you're 5 and 1 and 2, it's a contagion of this love. This love is operating through us as a, from the Father. It's His sovereign will that we love. And you know, it's like that's another Jesus over there, you know? And you know, you want to do it, you have to do it. And you know, some of us don't know as much as others, but you know, like, we put a good parallel on it. You know, you might have a child in kindergarten and one in grade 8. But, you know, they're the same with God. They're the same at whatever maturity they are. He wants love in this family. He certainly doesn't want indignation. Praise God. Glory to God. We really, really, really want to operate in that first fruit of the Spirit. Because it's attached to the next one. The very next one is joy. And when you get joy, then you got in between love and peace. Those are the partner ones that are really close. You know, that's the way I think it works. If they all work together, the pace that work at love, you got to go. Sometimes, you know, those one, even as it's written, the one right next to faith, you know, on both sides of faith there in the nine fruits is its close companion. Of course, it works that way for the fruit of the flesh, too. But, you know, we don't want that. So, praise and glory to God.
Yeah, God wants love out of us. When is it that we have to show love toward the church and not the factious? That's what the Word of God says. Separate yourself from them, not even to greet. And that's to protect the church. Protect the fellowship. And I can tell you, we still individually are to love them, as Andrew was talking about, and pray for them and pray that God would have mercy upon them. But as far as the protection of the church, you have to warn the church about that, because that factious demon is very infectious. I don't know if you've ever had run-ins with that. If you haven't, I'll tell you, it'll start messing with your mind when you listen to that, you know, listen to that and listen to it. I'm talking about factious talk, division, trying to talk about somebody else behind their back. You'll start getting this, well, maybe he's not, maybe there's something to that. Next thing you know, I told you about the time that I had this factious person come up. I first got here. I had just gotten here. Been here, well, I've been here probably a year or two, year or so. Now, I didn't know what faction was. And one night the guy came up in my room up there and just unloaded on me for about an hour, because I didn't have any, you know, I'm just trying to be kind to him, listen to him. Next morning, he got in my truck, me and somebody else. I backed out of the driveway. David was sitting out there talking to somebody. And I turned around, stopped the truck, jumped out of the truck. I said, "You got something against me, David?" He said, "No." I said, "Okay." Got back in the truck. And as I was going down the driveway, I said, "Now, what was that all about?" Because that's not my nature. And I came back and I said, "Did you understand what I was doing?" He said, "Not a thing, but I know what it was." And I heard him talk about faction, and he said, "It was faction." I said, "Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. Get it off, get it off, get it off." But I understood that you can't sit there and listen to anybody when they start talking about somebody else, because that demon will jump on you. Yeah, that demon will jump on you and take you out and take you and your whole family out. I've seen it happen time and time and time and time and time and time again. You can preach faction till you're blue in the face. People will still get into it. But we, like Andrew's talking about, we can do that to protect the church, but we're still to go ahead and pray for them and ask the Lord to have mercy and grace upon them so that they don't bring their whole family in. I've seen good Christian families get into faction and their kids turn out. They turn out. They go to a different religion. I've seen them go from good Bible-believing people to the Mormons. I've seen them go from that. I've seen them go from here to Messianic religion, Messianic Christian, they call it, Christianity. I've seen them do all. I've seen them go from here to Satanic religion. Yeah. When they get into faction, I've seen them here get into faction and get reprobated. And that's why God tells us in Titus not to do nothing, you know, not to mess with them. What we tell them here is, when you get into faction and you want to come back, call David. And when he calls David, he'll know, and now I know, if they repented or if they're just playing it. Yeah, Andrew.
Isn't that Matthew chapter 18?
Yeah.
You're supposed to, you know, if you got something to say about that person, you know, don't you think you should go talk to him? And you automatically, I think, you have to report, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's, now I'm not talking about a person getting into temptation sometimes against someone else here. You know that's wrong, so you get rid of that. And,
yeah.
And yeah, there's Matthew 18 there. I can't remember everything, but that's the gist of it. You're supposed to say to the person. Or, you know, they'll come. I remember a guy at work saying all this stuff about what he was the delivery guy. And he said, this and this happened to me when I made my delivery, you know, and everything. And I just said, he started insulting me because the printing wasn't right. And he said, I'm just the delivery guy, you know. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if all that happened. So I don't know how you behave. So I can't really speak to that. You know, if you thought I was being mean, I can't remember exactly what he was talking about. And, you know, I'm not involved here, you know, go and tell the boss, you know. So I'm not jumping in on this argument between you and her. She got in a fuss over this because he got angry back at her. And, you know, you go talk to the boss about that. I wasn't there, you know. And that's a different thing. But and you know, when you were talking, Michael, I was remembering How Shall We Die? I think it's the first or second chapter where he talks about personal forgiveness and governmental unforgiveness. Because we don't want to damage, well, we've got little children here, you know, we've got children, we've got teenagers, some youths here, you know, some young people, and we've got to, well, the Lord has to do it. You know, the same way we want love from the Lord, it's the same way the Lord has to take care of his faction stuff. And it's what we want. We want the fruits of the Spirit, not the other fruits. Anyway, we don't want worldliness getting in it. Because, you know, it's so many different words for all these different stuff. Different types of churches. They're all divided on some narrative, and God's going to fix it. Only God could fix something like that. But he needs someone here to intervene for, intercede for him, to be his intercessor, to be his prayer, to be the one who's going to be the spokesman even for him, I guess. Praise and glory to God. And that's, again, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. God's going to pick his person to do that. And how he does it. But it's always nice to back someone who's doing it right. If you get what I'm saying, you know. If Jesus was here, we want to back Jesus. If an apostle was here, we want to attack an apostle, you know, or a prophet, or a good teacher. Back the witness when you know the witness is even the young child in the Lord. Because he needs encouragement and he needs to grow, and we all need to grow. Because that's what Paul said, you know. Forget about the things behind and stretch on to the things forward in Christ Jesus. And be perfect all the time. And get more perfect. That's the only way I could put it, the way I see it there in Philippians chapter 2. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for placing it in our heart to follow what the Word of God says in Matthew 18:15-17. We thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. That way we won't get in any trouble. We've had people come in here and they get corrected for it. And, okay, we repent and then go right back into it. numbers of times until finally the Lord had enough. He said, that's enough. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
You know, what's so amazing about God is before we were saved, we didn't have a nature to love God. He has to give us, he has to give us the nature, he has to give us his love to love him. That's what's so amazing. It's nothing you can understand that he's giving you a love to love him, to obey him. It's amazing how awesome, how big the grace of God is. Because we are where we are because of God's grace. It's not because we think we is something, because we're nothing. Without God, we are nothing. We're just same as the world. But with his grace, we can be Christ in us. That's amazing.
Amen. Amen. Yes. He is so amazing. Hey, George, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Would you do us a favor and pray us out tonight? Because it's time to go.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and saving us. And we bend to your will, Lord. We walk in this world in it, but not of it. And Father, we want to be reminded more and more that we are not home yet, Lord, that we're going home. And when we're with you, walking side by side in this world, that's as close as we can get to home is when we are communing with you. So help us to stay connected with you like we are just aliens put here for a purpose, and let us walk in that purpose, Father. Let us not waste a minute. Let us enjoy the time, even the trials. Let us praise God in trials, because we know that this life is but a vapor, Lord, and that everything we have and everything we do comes from our good Father above. Father, we know that you've knitted us together as a family in the Lord, and I bless each and every person and their households represented here, and those that should be here, Lord, I call them in right now in the name of Jesus, that if they're supposed to be part of this body of believers, Lord, that you would bring them in and knit us together tight, Lord. Let us be a body pleasing to you. And Father, you are our Savior. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. And Lord, it's not our will, but your will be done. And Father, we look forward to each and every opportunity to bring glory to the name of Jesus. But Father, thank us and thank you for giving us boldness to represent the kingdom of God in the earth. And we thank you for help and healing where we need it. We thank you for speedy trials, Lord, that we go through them, that they come to pass. And Father, we thank you for growth, healthy spiritual growth, and that you would go ahead and raise us up to be who you've called us to be. Lord, we love you so much, and we love one another, and we thank you, Lord, for the next thing you've got for us to do and to be. And we are just in love with you, and we receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, George. Glory be to God. Well, good night, saints. We'll see you next week, God willing.